It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 6 a.m. on a Wednesday morning. Chris McMonagle and Keith McPherson filling in for Boomer and Geo on this historic day, as last night we witnessed history. Pete Alonso, the home run king of the New York Mets organization, a place that he has no desire playing anywhere else. Who loves being a Met more than Pete? What Met do the Met fans love more than Pete? Last night was a great night for the Met fan. They beat their nemesis, the Atlanta Braves. They keep on pounding. And Pete Alonso hits not one but two home runs to become the home run king of the New York Mets. How are we doing, Keith?
Good morning. Usually I hit that at midnight.
That's so. Right. A little WFAN at night in the early morning.
I'm good, man. Last night was a get-right night for New York baseball. A lot of runs scored, home runs hit. And for the most part, a night where you could just sit back, relax, watch your team win, and feel good about where you are, at least, like, you know, after all the losing streak ending. And all we can hope is that more of this comes from what we got last night.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, the win is obviously the most important thing for a team that's been floundering, lost 11 to 12, and playing a team that they just historically cannot beat. But last night was about Pete Alonso as he hits his 253rd home run in a moment in the game where early on, at least, it gets a little dicey later, and we'll get to what happens throughout the game. But early on, the vibes are good. They're up 3-1 as we're watching the highlight right now. And Pete Alonso with an opposite field laser over the right center field fence to make it 5-1. And you could just sense, like, the crowd. We had Rascona in here running the board yesterday. He was taking his son to the game. This is one of those moments. And Pete has become one of those guys, obviously. From the fan base calling for him at the beginning of his career when he was down in Vegas and they didn't want to call him up at the end of that season in 18. Then he comes up and he's this just mammoth figure in 2019, his rookie season, 50 home runs, as clutch as you could be. Arguably his best season as a Met that rookie season. And from that moment on, it became quite clear the connection that Pete built with this fan base, that Pete built with this team. They are his guy. And now, in the offseason, all the drama about the contract, going back and forth, the owner who was there last night, who put out a tweet last night, who chose to be at this game last night against the Atlanta Braves to see this history possibly take place, and ultimately it did. But all the comment, him getting booed at Met Day and everything, about bringing back Pete, like all of this was a moment the fan base has been craving. This is a moment that the fan base has been talking about for at least the last year. The idea that the greatest power hitter in the franchise's history completed that last night, and it's still kind of up in the air about his future, as he's, you know, he's not under contract for next season. At least we don't think so. We all expect him to opt out. Like, last night was one of those moments where you get to celebrate yours. You get to celebrate a guy that you love, that you've been behind through the losing, through the winning, through the fun, through the sad times, through his home run derbies, like everything. Pete Alonso is the New York Mets in many ways, even though we think Lindor might end up being the captain. But, like, he's the guy. And watching him last night hit that home run, seeing the crowd reaction, watching them get pound the Braves, like, it was as good a night you could have for a New York Mets fan.
Yeah, Pete Alonso is like this younger generation's guy. He's the guy that they hope in years to come has his number 20 jersey retired up there, and they get a Pete Alonso day. You know, you talked about amazing day and how the fans kind of demanded that they bring him back. And yeah, it seems so far in the past, right? The offseason where he didn't have any offers, and there was talk about Vladdy Jr. being a Met, and even opening day with Vladdy Jr. coming to Queens and the fans applauding him and people thinking about, hey, you know, we can get that guy. That guy's off the table. Like you just said, Pete Alonso, that is their guy. That is the polar bear. That's the face of the franchise. And after the losing streak, after getting swept, coming home, the owner tweeting out that he's going to be there, that the team hadn't been playing good, but kind of, you know, rallying the troops, rallying the fan base, come out to Citi Field. Come see what happens tonight. Pete hit two home runs. Even the first ball he hit kind of gave you the feeling like, hey, he's locked in tonight. It's going to happen. I just think that for the Met fan last night, Alvarez, two home runs. His boy Nimmo bailing them out. You know, of course, they give you that little moment of, you know, panic where Frank the Tank, I'm sure, crashed out. Where even, you know, Evan Roberts is tweeting about it. The Met fans are tweeting about, like, you know, the Braves coming back. They give you that little bit of moment for the Boo Birds to come out in Citi Field to not believe, But then Brandon Nimmo hits the three-run shot, and then the Mets absolutely pour it on. And you wake up this morning feeling good, and you haven't been able to feel good. It's funny, too, because it's now the 12th, and we keep going back to June 13th.
Yeah.
So people could literally put this in a box of 2 months, 2 months, 2 months. Well, the next 2 months is the most important.
Yeah, no, and you said it. And last night, yeah, huge win. All the stuff that we'll get into that. We'll get into the bunt by Lindor, which I think is arguably the biggest play of the game
yeah.
to get on base there with two outs, followed by the walk and the three-run shot. But last night was definitely a cleansing moment, right? The day off leading into it. Met fans all over the place. This is where they get hot. This is where they turn it on against the lousy Atlanta Braves team. They get the home run, and it just set this thing off. Now, you mentioned the owner being there. We talked about it. Like, and the future of Pete Alonso. And I look at it, and I've been skeptical. I have been. I've been skeptical about the future of Pete Alonso with the New York Mets. I felt that way last year. He had that down season where it really was, the numbers weren't awful, but he was very unimpactful. Like, he didn't have that typical Pete season. He did, like, in the clutch, he was terrible up until he hits the home run against Devin Williams. And he has the good playoff run with the playoff pumpkin and all that. And leading into the offseason, and it just felt like, I wasn't sure, and I think there's a dynamic with the Mets right now between the two guys who are running this, the two faces of what the Mets are right now, the owner and Steve Cohen, and the general manager and president of baseball operations, David Stearns. And I still feel that I am curious how David Stearns feels about Pete Alonso as being a Met for the rest of his career. But you saw the owner there.
Yeah.
You saw the way this building reacts, and what other owner in sports has come in and tried to make more connection to the fan base? Like, he comes in and immediately it's like, we're changing things. We're putting a statue of Tom Seaver. We're bringing back Old Timers Day. We're bringing back the black jerseys. We're doing all this stuff because I am one of you. How in the world can this guy allow Pete Alonso not to be a Met? How does he not step in? Even I, who've been skeptical of the idea of a 30-year-old first baseman and how they treated last offseason and what David Stearns would like when building a team. He's literally in Japan scouting a first baseman, third baseman. We just got that story that he's out scouting a Murakami out in Japan, who is a first baseman, third baseman, even playing a little bit outfield now, but primarily a first baseman for his career. And, like, I just don't know how he feels, but watching the way this fan base has reacted to Pete and knowing Steve Cohen, like, even I, there's no way he allows this guy to be anywhere else, right? Like, he has to be a Met for his entire career.
You think that because of the money, right? You think, like, this guy can buy everybody. He just bought Juan Soto for $765 million. Honestly, with David Stearns right now, David Stearns looking at Frankie Montas, who we found out yesterday, he's going to the bullpen.
Yeah.
I'd be looking at David Stearns right now saying, you don't just have the right to call every single thing. Like, we're going to talk through this.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking through it, there's so much more to be seen. Let's see what Pete does the rest of the way. Let's see what this team does the rest of the way, because they're not good enough right now to even think about a world where Pete Alonso's not on the team, not in the lineup. And not just for his bat. He's played defense. He's had some shining defensive moments over the last couple weeks as
Absolutely.
Well. The Mets are not good enough right now to even think about a life without Pete Alonso, to think about Munetaka Murakami, who a lot of Yankee fans have their eyes on. You know, I understand that Stearns is out there in Japan. I understand the timing, too. Like, hey, you're not there for 253 night, but I just see the rest of the season playing out where Pete, you know, in the beginning of the season was MVP.
Yeah.
If he continues to hit home runs, drive in runs, and carry this team, there's no way they can move on from him. And if you remember last year, he got back into the fans' good graces, obviously, with the homer off of Devin Williams and, you know, showing up in the postseason. So he's got to do that again in October to kind of lock himself in, I think.
Yeah, but that's my point. Does he? Like, does he have to do that? Did last night lock
so.
It? Does last night lock it?
Because the fans get loud.
I understand that, but look at how loud they were last night. Like, even if he's already had a great year. Like, his OPS is as high as it's been in his career almost. He's right around 900, right? Early on in the season, he was as big a reason for their success and building the best record in baseball up until the infamous day of June 13th. Like, and these moments and his ability to still hit home runs and what he's been, even if he is not the same player he was in the first couple months, even if he's, you know, he's even if he's what he was the last couple months, like, if Pete Alonso opts out, Like, can you do this to the fan base? Can you take this guy away from this fan base that is so connected to him? And he's now the leading franchise, you know, the leader in the franchise in home runs. He's been their guy. Nobody loves it. Oozes out of him.
Yeah.
How much he loves being a Met. Even if the season isn't what we hope for or expect the rest of the way, I don't know if that even plays into it. It might be at the point where Pete Alonso is a Met for life and that decision's been made. Like, that's because I agree with you. If the decision is up in the air and David Stearns has a strong opinion on it and is allowed to voice an opinion on it to the owner, then I agree with you. It's up in the air. But is it at the point this owner in that game last night sitting in the front row watching that moment, watching the fan base reaction, knowing that we're talking about a guy who we could be chasing big time numbers with down the stretch, knowing how much this fan base was dying for a statue of Tom Seaver? This is their guy. Has that decision already been made?
I mean, speaking of Seaver, they got over losing Seaver. They got over DeGrom. Yeah. They got over Zach Wheeler.
They got over Darryl Strawberry.
It has to be a sell of, like, you know, what's next? They have to have another option next. It has to be something that David Stearns can sell them on a future, because the future we're currently in with the Met fan didn't know that this future would exist with Juan Soto and some of these other high-priced players. That's the only way they potentially get over it. But what I'm saying with we got to see what happens, it's what have you done for me lately? It's very much of, like, the fans are loud right now, of course, because selfishly, a lot of them went to that game, wanted that moment, saw it live, have it in their phones, and that's right now. But if Pete is terrible in the postseason or the rest of the way, they'll sour on him and they'll say, well, we kind of understand what you're saying. He's an aging first baseman, his body type. Oh, yeah, we could allocate funds elsewhere. We need pitching. Maybe we go spend there. I know they don't spend there, but maybe they do if they're trying to get the fan base to understand that we're moving away from Pete Alonso.
Yeah, I don't think there's a world where any Met fan would be okay with Pete. I don't care what happens from this point on. I don't think there's a world with where you could get most. Like, listen, there's always the outliers, and a portion of the fan base hates everyone. Like, there's somebody who hates everybody. But I would think that at this point, like, to me, it's either it's up to the GM and he's not here, or the owner's already made the decision. Like, yeah. I don't think his play.
But nine months ago, they were talking about Vladdy. They were talking about Vientos can play first base.
Yeah, I don't know. Not after last night, and not after all the flip-flops going around. Not after all the, as I'm watching the highlights. Not after so many home runs that they ran out of fireworks. But let's get to the, and we'll have some fun with that, too.
We'll definitely talk about that
one. Let's get to the other thing you mentioned. Montas, at the beginning of the game, because there actually is a Met team right now trying to actually get into the postseason. The Reds lost last night. Won last night, so they've kept two games up on the Reds. There is a actual team here that needs to win games, and that's what was ultimately most important for this Met team last night. And there's still issues. Now, they opened the offense up, bunch of home runs. Obviously, the Nimmo home run was an absolute huge home run, preceded by the bunt and the walk from Lindor and Soto. But you start off the day finding out Montas is being sent to the bullpen. We're expecting one of the young kids to get pulled up, called up. And then Clay Holmes, who has been, ultimately, for the year, really good. And I would still say that even after last night. And I know the Met fans right now are down on him, but that was an awful performance from him. He gives up the run early. Then they stake him with a 5-1 lead, and he can't get out of the fourth. As this Met team is about to go on a run, they play 22 games in the next 23 days. They have been desperate for innings out of their starting pitcher. He gets a 5-1 lead against the lousy Braves, and he can't get out of the fourth inning. Like, that is a performance that is just tough to take. Now, I have problems with leaving him in against Olsen, too. Like, the manager's part of this. But as we move along with this Met team, Montas is already out of the bullpen, out of the rotation, into the bullpen. I don't know if they can do the same with Clay Holmes, but we know a kid's coming up. This starting rotation, even in last night's win, continues to be a problem for this Met team.
Yeah, Clay Holmes, I've seen that before. Clay Holmes can't struggle with the bottom of the order. Guys like Vidal, Brujan, you can't walk him. Nacho Alvarez, dude, this is a guy that is, he's not a hitter at all. I think last night when he drove in his first RBI, I think I heard in the broadcast, you know, Clay Holmes outlasts Frankie Montas as far as, you know, coming to the Mets and not being thrown in the bullpen. All the conversation had been about, hey, Clay Holmes got to go to the bullpen. Frankie Montas is in the bullpen before Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes let everybody down. But you know what? The Make It Happen Mets weren't going to let everybody down, not on Pete's night, not on a night where, you know, history was made, where you need a win. Brandon Nimmo, I thought it was almost scripted how, you know, Brandon Nimmo, that's Pete's guy. He's homegrown. Yep. That's his boy.
Yep.
Brandon Nimmo comes
up. Was on the base path, too, for the home run.
Yeah. And you know what? That's going to be on SNY. This is on Mets Classic for the rest of time. And everyone will remember Clay Holmes giving up the lead. And also people are going to remember, let's not leave out Carlos Mendoza. Because there was a point in time there where it's like, if you know this guy doesn't go deep in games, you got to get Gregory Soto warm. Yeah. You got to get him up and running. I think I saw Evan tweet that Matt Olson versus Gregory Soto was 1-for-11. You can't let Clay face him when you know that. Or maybe you don't know that. Or maybe you're trying to, I don't know, you're trying to steal outs or get through the inning. But it all is well that ends well, but it was a bad look. In that fourth inning.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough spot for a couple of reasons. Like, we talk about it, that they need to get innings out of their starting pitching, but you also can't just rely on a pitcher that clearly doesn't have it. Like, it's a little bit of today's baseball, which I know everyone's so hung up on, the amount of pitches guys are allowed to throw. It's partly that. It's mainly these guys haven't been good enough. And Clay Holmes last night is on the ropes, and me and Fleegs were talking about it. The problem I have with it, and I watching the game, I had a problem with it. I didn't even know he was 1-for-11 versus Soto at that time. The problem I have with it is that's going to be the last batter Clay Holmes faces anyway.
Yeah.
Like, even if he gets that out, are you bringing him back out for the fifth?
You can't.
After that, like, I don't think
he was getting booed.
So if you're at the point where that's literally the last batter he's going to face, why would you not bring in a lefty to get him? And especially when you find out that he's, you know, 1-for-11 against him.
Yeah, that's the matchup.
I had a real problem with letting him face Olson, but ultimately they do come back and win. It was a huge night for the New York Mets. But even as they let you know, and the Yankees have done this too, and we'll get to the Yankees later, and we'll take your calls at 888-808-1019. Even in their wins, there are issues that are still harboring around these teams. There are still issues with the New York Mets that you look at. This rotation is still scary. The amount of innings they're giving you is still a problem. Frankie Montas and one starter being called up from the minors doesn't solve everything. And this offense, while explosive last night and something to be celebrated last night, and Alvarez and Nimmo coming out of his slump, and Alvarez really being pretty good since coming back from the injury, all that may be true, but it's still an offense that has struggled with runners in scoring position. Not a lot of nights like this, so that's what made it special. And there are still issues with this Met team. They've won, you know, it's one win. They were on a 7-game losing streak. They were bound to win one. It was a great night and a lot of history being made, but there are still problems with this team.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right. 6:24, Chris McMonagle, Keith McPherson filling in for Boomer and Geo. I can't get enough of those guys fighting in those, like, Avatar robots in the rejoins from CBS Sports Network.
Yep. Yeah,
that's hilarious. I don't know why. I get such a kick. Look at them. Look at that.
They've gotten a lot of run out of those.
Yeah. The only thing I have a problem with is there's no way that's a glass backboard on that, like, street basketball court.
That's what you have a problem with?
Yeah, I mean, they knock over the rim. There's no way that's glass. That's an all-metal backboard. But besides that,
let's play along a little bit, okay?
They get too deep into it.
Look at that. All right, let's have a little fun. It was a historic day. And listen, not only was it historic because Pete Alonso is now the home run king for the New York Mets franchise, it's historic because both teams won on the same day. That had not happened since July 27th.
Wow.
July 27th. The entire month of August. Plus, without both teams winning on the same day.
About 2.5 weeks.
4 days before the trade deadline. We've already made our decisions that the GM suck at the trade deadline. and it was the first time we had a win with both teams. So that's what a historic night. I'm honored to be here on this day.
Yes, it is a good morning to be here, isn't it?
Yes,
we can be positive and happy. That's great. We are sponsored by Primo Brands, the official water sponsor of MLB, Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. We will begin at Citi Field. Certainly a night to remember is Darryl Strawberry's franchise home run record no longer.
Pete drives one to deep right center field, headed back for the wall. Prolific home run hitter in New York Mets That's history.
That's Gary Cohen on SNY, number 253 at the time. He gave the Mets a 5-1 lead. Clay Holmes decided to give all that back in the next half inning, the top of the fourth. But the Mets got the response from their offense that they really didn't get Sunday in Milwaukee, and that included another blast from Alonso.
Swinging a high fly ball straight away center field. Harris looks up, and it's gone. How do you like that? 254 for Pete Alonso.
And that would be Keith Radd on Odyssey Mets Radio. So two for Pete. You had two for Francisco Alvarez. Mets end up hitting six home runs, each of them with two outs, on their way to a 13-5 series opening win over the Braves to snap their seven-game losing streak in the process.
We used to ask, obviously, whenever John Sterling had a home run call for someone, how long he had it in his mind. Same thing with like big moments. How long do you think he had on his own individual iceberg? How long do you think Gary had that one in the back of his mind?
I feel like Gary usually doesn't go that route.
Oh, I think he had that. I think that one.
Oh, no, I agree. Okay, I'm just saying, I was a little surprised that he had what you would think was the predetermined call.
Yeah, I think he did.
I agree. Just I feel like that's usually not his move, but maybe he felt this was a big enough moment that he wanted something prepared.
And I'm not knocking. I thought it was good. I thought it was funny and clever, but I'm just always curious. I always ask the question. I think he had it all season.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he was ready. Whenever this was going to happen, he had it ready.
Maybe not the whole season.
Yeah.
A private iceberg?
Yeah, I think he had it. I think he had the polar bear.
Now I'm thinking deep into that, like, icebergs are private. Do polar bears stay on icebergs? Do they live on the icebergs? Why is that like the...
I mean, they live on the ice.
But see,
how
long does it take to prepare the whole opening day? He had that one in the
yes.
cut.
No, he went into the season. The minute Pete Alonso signed pen to paper and came back this year, he's like, iceberg?
His own private igloo.
He was ready.
His own private. I don't know
what
else.
You don't have to do it. We don't have to do it.
I didn't think it was that great.
We comment on theirs.
I mean, it was like, that's two staged. I think that was too much.
I liked it, but I definitely was in his back pocket.
Yeah, and Keith Radd, nothing against him, got both Alonso home run calls last night. There was no Howie. So
yeah, I know.
Holy s***!
Tweeted about that mid-game because someone... sent a reply his way. Like, oh, bum that you didn't get to have the call. And he, of course, took the high road.
Of course.
Also a little under the weather. I had the Met radio broadcast on quite a bit. Howie could tell. I could hear it in his voice. He's maybe battling a little cold something.
And he called the Alvarez home run.
Yeah.
The first one.
He did. And like he said in the tweet, get used to it. Like it's just, he said in the tweet, get used to Rad having these moments. Like, it's just... Time marches on.
But if you guys remember, when Pete hit 53 his rookie season, Gary and Howie both weren't on the call for that either.
Really?
Because it was a Fox game, so there was no SNY, and it was the third inning, so I guess it was Wayne back then, but his two milestone home runs,
right?
Howie wasn't on the call for either, and Gary only got one.
How about that? I'm trying to think of other big... Obviously, the famous one is the Aaron Boone. Charlie Steiner has it over...
John Sterling.
Thank you, John Sterling. That's a famous
one. Dorn Judge's 60. Remember Apple
Justin
TV?
Justin Shackle had a couple of the big ones on radio.
Yeah.
There was a big thing about Apple TV having a Friday night game, and Judge didn't homer, but they're like, oh, these guys are going to get the opportunity to call. And they didn't get the opportunity.
I think Susan missed 63, right?
Was Susan not in Texas?
Because I think it was
we didn't get to 63.
Yeah, 62, you mean?
We didn't get to 62. 63.
Yeah.
We didn't get
to 63. Maybe this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cal Raleigh.
We've interrupted enough. Continue.
That's quite all right. You brought up the Charlie Steiner one.
Yes.
And that got a little awkward then.
It did.
With the Yankees win part.
Correct. He had to do it. Yeah. And then he said, I always wanted to do that too. Like that was. Yeah, and then guess what?
Talk about icebergs.
And then guess what? That was the last year he did the broadcast.
Yeah.
what a weird predicament that was.
By the way, Fleek's bringing up the rookie record homer for Alonso.
Yeah.
Same opponent. Same inning in almost the same area of the outfield.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Kind of
cool.
How about that?
Little symmetry there.
Yeah.
So good night for Alonso, obviously, as the Mets take care of business. Here was immediate reaction from Pete on the field with SNY's Steve Gill.
Growing up as a kid, you never really put yourself in the mind where like you could potentially be a franchise leader one day in home runs. That just doesn't really cross your mind. And it's just really special. What a blessing, what a gift it is to play this game at this level. What a gift it is to hit it at home in front of you guys. So thank you guys.
Yeah. Brandon Nimmo been there for each of the Alonso home runs at the big league level. He's all in on that love affair.
I thought it was just a really special moment between him and the fans and their appreciation for him. And they should appreciate him. He's brought so many great memories to Mets fans over the years. So, got more to come.
Also, almost, you know, sucked the air out of the building with Holmes there in the fourth. So, thankfully, they were able to respond as he was not able to get through the fourth inning. Holmes, that is. His struggles continue. And Frankie Montas is heading to the bullpen. So, perhaps a young arm or two will be promoted to the big leagues in short order.
Clay Holmes might have been run out of town if he ruined that night.
Yeah.
If he ruined that night for the Met fan, he might have been run out of town or at least run to the bullpen. That was a brutal performance.
It was. Gregory Soto gets four outs. Justin Hagenman ate up the final four innings to earn his first career save. Tonight, you got David Peterson opposed by Carlos Carrasco. And it'll be another 7:10 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Meantime, in the Bronx, Giancarlo Stanton continues to swing a very hot bat.
Here comes a 2-2 pitch. Breaking ball swung on and hit deep. Left center field. Oh, I think he got all of it. Headed for the bullpen. Bye-bye. Way above the bullpen. Giancarlo Stanton with a mammoth home run. And the Yankees have a 5-1 lead.
That's Dave Sims. Sit on my face.
Yeah, here on The Fan. Little Emmanuel Babari as well. AI version, of course.
Sure.
So you said it yesterday, C-Mac, perhaps the best regular season stretch we've seen from Stanton as a Yankee, and he certainly added to that on Tuesday. 4-for-5, triple short of the cycle as part of a 9-1 win over the Twins. That's 9 in a row against Minnesota, and since 2002, they are 125-44.
I love the Twins. I love the Minnesota Twins. I've got to get to that ballpark. I got to make a trip out to Minnesota. I just love that franchise. They are just...
They're such nice.
They're just great.
They're nice guys. They're pals.
They're terrific people.
Like the Washington Generals to the Harlem Globetrotters,
exactly,
pretty much.
Right.
Wow, exactly.
Exactly right. Yeah. And I've also noticed in these calls, Susan's always been like that, but Susan's really, you could tell she's feeling the pressure this season, too. She is rooting. You can hear it in almost every call. Every call, there's a, if it's a against the Yankees, there's the groan.
Yeah.
There's the, she's on this, man. She is living and dying with this team like the rest of us. She's
as
the best.
As she should, right?
As she should.
Back to Stanton now, even hitting an even 300, OPS of 962, and that long ball last night, certainly a tape measure bomb.
That home run in the fifth inning, it seemed like Aaron Judge was even in awe of that one, 447 feet. How much fun have you been having demolishing the baseball?
Not going to get 450, though. What the heck?
There you go, Stanton checking himself a little bit with Meredith Marakovitz on. Yes, but in all seriousness.
Put a good swing on the ball in the middle of the plate. Things like that will happen, and good thing it helped for a win.
Something tells me there'll be a next time, right?
Oh, yeah, we need it.
Now, the next time, when he says we need it, he's probably just talking about getting another win, right?
Yeah.
I think she meant specifically him hitting another, you know, moonshot.
No, but they need his moonshots.
You know,
there's big balloons in the yes booth.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a boomer favorite around
I understand.
But when he said, sure, oh, yeah, we need it, you know, Stan's not one to pat himself on the back.
No, absolutely not. No, he's saying, is there another way? He might have even thought she meant another win. Like,
that's what I mean.
But I mean, it's like I said yesterday, it's not even just the home runs. When's the last time you saw the flailing at a slider in the dirt in the other opposite batter's box? Like,
very under control.
The at bats have been consistent. He takes that opposite field fastball, as we saw in the highlights, double off the wall. I mean, he's hitting almost 300.
He's hitting 300 now.
He finished the game with 300. Yep. He's hitting 300. Giancarlo Stanton is hitting 300. When's the last time we've said that? I mean, the guy has been incredible.
Yep. Aaron Judge homered in this game as well. His first since coming off the IL. Anthony Volpe go-ahead 3-run homer in the second. And Carlos Rodon, after allowing a leadoff single, no hits the rest of the way. 7 innings of 1-run ball to improve to 12-7. That comes a night after Will Warren came within a strike of completing 7 innings himself for manager Aaron Boone.
These are the outings, and you don't need them every night, but these are the outings you need, you know, a time or two through the rotation that really allows the bullpen to be what they should be. And I think they can be really, really dynamic back there.
And they've got plenty of bullets available tonight now as the Yanks go for the sweep with rookie Cam Schlittler on the mound, opposed by Minnesota ace Joe Ryan. Pregame 6:25 here on The Fan and the free Odyssey app. Elsewhere, the Red Sox destroyed the Astros in Houston 14-1. Blue Jays beat the Cubs 5-1. 11 in a row for the Brewers, who were like, oh, Paul Skeens, no match. It was a 14-0 final for Milwaukee, and Andrew Vaughn hit another home run. Ugh. I mean, it's just...
The first at bat of the game hits one deep.
They are on a sick roll.
I'll tell you this, though, and we'll get into this later. They're not winning. The Brewers aren't winning, right?
No.
They're not winning the World Series.
They're not.
No.
Like, we could say all we want, what a great, scrappy team.
They might not win a round.
They're not winning the World Series.
Yeah.
I hate to be a New York high high, high, high payroll
you know, elitist.
Yeah. But they ain't winning.
I would agree. I think we're all on the same page with that. Reds beat the Phillies 6-1. So just standings-wise, Yankees remain and gave up on Cleveland for the third AL wildcard spot. They're a game and a half behind the Red Sox, and the Mets are up 2 on the Reds for that third and final wildcard spot in the National League. Jets, Giants, first of back-to-back joint practices as they worked in Florham Park on Tuesday. You had a lengthy list of Giants out, and I know you covered that at the end of yesterday's show. Right, and you were breaking down the...
I didn't hear what you just said. Fleegs was talking.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
All right, then.
Please repeat yourself.
The amount of Giants that did not partake in practice yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Obviously, Neighbors is the scary one because he actually has the toe issue. But, yeah, no, a bunch of wide receivers, hardly anyone practiced.
But specifically with Neighbors because Daboll didn't want to get into whether he'd need additional testing. And they had initially said, hey, just some rest and rehab. But it's now, I think, last Tuesday or Wednesday he came out of a session early and has not practiced since. On the Jets side, the offensive line had to deal with a talented Giants pass rush, which includes rookie first-rounder Abdul Carter. But Aaron Glenn didn't need to go out of his way to throw any bouquets his way.
He's a grown man. He's a grown man. So nothing that out of the ordinary. We all know that, you know. So he didn't shock anybody.
Which makes... That makes about the perfect amount of sense there. Here was Glenn on bringing the attitude and energy from his standpoint, his perspective in the first year running this Jets training camp.
There are so many things that I bring to work every day. And it really, when I get up in the morning, that motivate me to go out and be the best. Number one, I was hired to do a job.
And he talked about the organization and, of course, his time as a player, but then also on how he just keeps the right mindset.
Plus, I just love what the hell I do. You know, so... It's not hard for me, you know, to come here every day with a smile on my face, ready to work, you know, because I just love coaching football. And I love being around players. I love being around the coaches. So this is the best job in the world for me.
I've enjoyed listening to him so far. I know we haven't played a game yet. Doesn't
I hear
matter.
You. And you know what? I was hard on him a little bit when he first started, and especially even through the offseason. A little bit, I don't know, confrontational might not be the right word, but it feels that way a little bit. Then he had the clip the other day talking about how much when it hit him when the fans were doing the J-E-T-S Jets thing and how cool it is to be the head coach. And you listen to something like that, like, I know coaches probably say that a lot and sure everyone loves their job. Like, he just comes off so genuine that way. Like, you can tell. Like, this dude loves and breathes football.
Yeah.
And particularly Jets football. So, hopefully he's the guy we've all been waiting for.
And it looked like a nice mutual respect between he and Brian Daboll when they met up on the field yesterday. So, everyone played nice yesterday.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens today in East Rutherford, you know, 2 days in a row.
Well, he was talking about he's worried about fights. Like that's,
yes, well, yeah, he's always 2 days in a row, all of a sudden things get a little feisty.
Abdul Carter running wild. Suddenly, no one likes it. Grown man one day, enemy the next.
Could be very possible.
Be.
We shall see.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 6:46 on this Wednesday morning. Chris McMonagle and Keith McPherson filling in for Boomer and Geo. A lot of baseball, obviously, last night, an historic night as Pete Alonso passes Darryl Strawberry for the all-time home run leader of the Mets franchise. They beat the Braves and pound them 13-5. The Yankees take down the Twins. What's new? 9-1. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I want to get your Met calls, your Pete Alonso calls. How do you feel, like, as a Met fan? I'm curious how the Met fans feel. I think it's going to overwhelmingly be Pete has to be back, no matter what happens the rest of the way. Is there a way where Pete plays himself out of your hearts? I don't think so. I think we're already there. Pete Alonso has got to be a New York Met moving forward. And last night was just more of a testament to what he's meant to this fan. And just a good dude. You heard the highlights we were just playing. Like, I've been on the record. I even had, you know, Craig, of course, put me in all kinds of awkward situations with Carton and Roberts.
I remember.
And he, you know, you had me on the phone with Pete because I've called him a little bit of a doof. Pete's a little bit of a doof.
No, he is.
He's a little doofy.
Used to hump the rails.
Yeah, he's just, the humping stuff, the way he handles the home run derby.
Shirt off.
Like, he's just a little goofy, a little doofy, but that doesn't change the fact of what a great ball player he is, what he means to this franchise, and what a, like, I don't think he's putting on a doofus act. Like,
no,
I think that is genuinely him. He is genuinely kind of just off the beaten path, a little aloof kind of guy who, you know, gets, you know, laughs at, like, silly stuff. You could tell he's that kind of guy. He's just a... But there's no doubt, good dude, and
I love being a Met,
and he loves being a Met. Like, there's
York City,
no doubt, he loves right
fan
now.
Base.
I would venture to say, on all of our professional sport teams, now you could make the case of obviously the captain with the New York Knicks. Why is
Jalen Brunson?
Jalen Brunson, 2 days in a row I've done that. It's one of those names. Miguel Andujar is a name, and for some reason, Jalen Brunson is a name. I have deep-seated problems. Jalen Brunson, you can argue Jalen Brunson loves being a Knick, but I would venture to say that no other player in this city loves being a member of their team as much as Pete Alonso loves being a Met. Like, even Aaron Judge. Like, I think Aaron Judge obviously loved being a Met. Loves being a Yankee, no doubt. You know, went through the free agent system. It was probably all a big facade that he was out there talking to the Giants. And, like, I'm not trying to knock Aaron Judge, but, like, there is, like, Pete loves being a Met. I don't think there's any doubt. Like, it's just, it just.
Let's see how much he loves being a Met. Will he take a discount like Jalen Brunson did?
Well, I think he no, they would have to
Scott
be.
Scott Boras not taking any discounts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Scott Boras, I think he would. Not taking any discounts.
Let's go to Sonny in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Yeah, it's ironic what you're saying, that, you know, he loves being a Met, probably one of the best all-time Mets ever, home run record. Everything he's done for this organization, especially for this year, guys, where would he be? Where would the Mets be without him this year, right? First half, he had a monster season. Soto, you know, had a great June, but he, you know, let's face it, he's been playing underneath his, you know, $750 million contract.
Sure.
Million contract, sorry. Lindor, what is, you know, another huge, huge long slump. I mean, this team, I mean, he's basically carried this team, to tell you the truth. And the ironic thing is, this organization, I don't think respects them, guys. To put them through what they did, you know, to get them back to this team is ridiculous. And if it wasn't for the fans, I don't think he would have been back. So, you know, shame on the organization for not really appreciating him and respecting him the way he should. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a bit harsh, Sonny. I think that's it was negotiation.
He's the highest paid.
I mean,
first baseman.
And they didn't have to do that. They did not have to give him the $30 million. Nobody else was coming close to giving him that money. So, but yeah, listen, I didn't love the way they handled the negotiations in the offseason. I didn't. I was critical of them at the time. Ultimately, they got a good fair deal for them. So who am I to, you know, knock them? I think that it's a business and there is still a market, right? We've seen it with Derek Jeter. Like, there is a market, there is what is viable, there is what is fair, and Pete Alonso wanted probably a little bit more than what anyone else was willing to give him. And that was part of the reason of my thought process that this offseason would be different, because last year he had the qualifying offer attached to him.
Yep.
So not only did you have to pay a big lumbering first baseman who had a down year, you know, on the wrong side of 30, but you had to give up picks to do so. So, like, that really hurt his free agency, and the market wasn't there for him. I think the market's going to be better for him this year. I really do.
It definitely is, especially with Vladdy not being out there. He's going to be one of the top guys, and it's negotiations. When you think about how he was treated, no, it was negotiating with Scott Boras, the Bond villain of baseball, like the super agent that owns all these guys. And, you know, they deal a lot with Scott Boras, Frankie Montas, Brandon Nimmo, Juan Soto. And on Amazing Day, when Steve Cohen took the mic and he spoke out, he said, you know, I don't really like the way the negotiations are going. It isn't about Pete. They went up, went down to Florida and met with Pete personally to let him know, we love you. We want you to be a part of this team. We understand what you've done. But I'm sure Scott Boras drives a hard bargain.
No. And Pete isn't the only player that's been hindered by it. Like, we've seen how many over the last couple of years. Like, he's Scott Boras.
Michael Conforto.
He does a great job for his clients. I would never say otherwise. He's the super agent. He is the master of puns. He is all of that. But over the last couple of years, we've seen Snell. We have seen a bunch of different
guys.
Cody Bellinger, Montgomery. Like, we've seen a bunch of guys who didn't get the deal they were expecting with Scott Boras. So I think that had more to do with it. You would have loved to have seen an easier come together of the minds with Pete Alonso last year, but I don't think they disrespected him. I think that's a bit much. And ultimately, I think this owner is going to make the decision that Pete Alonso can't go anywhere. Let's go to John out on the Belt Parkway in the car. What's up, John? I know the traffic. You must be sitting in on the Belt Parkway, John. The Belt Parkway is always bumper to bumper.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Hate the bump.
But you guys were talking about before how Gary had the line rehearsed for the iceberg.
Yes.
110% he had it rehearsed, because last year, the second they made the playoffs, he goes from 0-5 to OMG. The New York Mets have made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's not even a question in my mind.
No, I don't think there's a question. You got it, John. I appreciate it. No, and again, I don't want to make this sound like we're knocking him. Like, that's being prepared for your job.
Sure.
Like,
some call.
You're allowed to. This isn't like, you know, some sort of contest who can come up with the greatest line off the top of their heads. This is about having a good quality broadcast and coming up with an iconic.
He landed it.
I thought he landed it. I liked all of it. I liked the from 0-5 to OMG is a good line. And I thought the iceberg thing last night was just
the visual of it, Chris. Like,
right, Tears of Joy in 2015, there's a handful of them. And the same thing with John Sterling. There's no way those whole, like, he thought about those for months. The second someone signs, he's trying to figure out what he's going to do with the home run calls. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's no doubt he had that line in the back pocket. I was just curious how long.
His own private glacier?
Was that what it was?
That's
Can
a
we
little,
play the highlight again?
Or no, his own private iceberg.
Iceberg. I want to hear
it's
the,
a little much.
I don't know if it's much. It's a big moment.
I mean, because you're trying to like create theater of the mind.
Yeah,
the polar bear
on his own iceberg. He is on his although own he has that iceberg. Means he has separated from the team. I don't know. So you could read it both ways, I guess.
And now does
a ripple of anticipation moves through the ballpark with every Alonso at bat. Hoping to see some history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pete drives one to deep right center field, headed back toward the wall. It's out of here! Out of here! Pete Alonso stands alone! The polar bear on his own private iceberg! Pete Alonso, the most prolific home run hitter in New York Mets history!
That's a terrible call.
No. Susan, come on.
Yeah, would Michael Kay do that? You think you could hear Michael Kay coming up with...
Yeah, his 3,000 hit for Jeter, what was it? History with an exclamation point or whatever. Like, that was all
slide fun. Over, babe. You've got company
slide
for
over,
judges.
With judge,
slide
was
over,
like,
babe, you've got company.
It would
course.
Be rehearsed without the cleverness of Gary's.
Exactly.
Nah, don't do that to the Kayster.
But, no, the own private iceberg, I get it. I like it. And, you know, what was he going to say? If he was going to incorporate the polar bear, right? Because that is his nickname. It's like part of him. It is who he is. I think it's warranted to, like, it is unfortunately, or
Daryl. Daryl with his own individual strawberry.
Yeah. Well, I would have gone with strawberry forever, or strawberry fields forever. I would have done some sort of Beatle reference. You know me. But, he is the polar bear, and this isn't an individual thing. You know, it's not a team thing. It's okay. It happens in sports. So it's an individual thing, and he individualized him on his own iceberg. I thought that was clever. I liked it.
Well, do we have the second call? Because the second was like his own private iceberg and another iceberg.
Did he say another iceberg?
No, I don't think he did, but he hit two home runs that night. Yeah. So were you prepared for a second one?
Yeah.
I don't see the second one here, so maybe Seal will grab it for the next update.
Yeah, now we got to hear how he followed it up, because you can't anticipate a two-homer night on the record-breaking night.
No.
No, but shout out to Gary, Keith, Ron. We all know how great they are.
They're great.
And even Howie. I was listening to Howie, and Keith Rad is great. It was a great night. Even I was listening to Odyssey Mets Radio, and what was hilarious was when Clay Holmes did give it up,
yeah,
Keith Rad starts talking about tale as old as time. Like, the starter's not going deep.
No,
the
yeah.
Mets blowing a lead. Yeah. And then they played Beauty and the Beast. And they played like the violin version of
really?
Tale as Old as Time. It was well done.
Wow.
Ray Martell, I'm sure it was nicely produced.
That's funny. It was a tale as old as time. And then they did something unique and actually got off the deck and scored a bunch of runs. And that bunt, the two-out bunt from Lindor, I thought was the biggest moment of the game. That was in the moment. Now, Lindor is going poorly, obviously. You want to get Soto up in that spot. I get it. My initial thought was, as a new, somewhat okay with analytics, I don't hate it with a burning passion. I don't know if I love bunting with two outs there in that spot. But
two outs, nobody on.
Two outs, nobody on. I want to see Lindor drive the baseball, but ultimately he gets on base. It leads to the Soto walk, and then you get the three-run home run that breaks open the game from Nimmo, kind of, and you could see Strider how pissed he was.
Yeah.
Like that moment changed the game. So that I thought that bunt is an underrated, you know, I'm sure many people talk about it. I'm sure I was told that Evan doing his podcast on the way home talked about it. That bunt is a huge bunt to set up that inning in the fourth. And they come right back, they hit the three-run home run from Nimmo, and away they go. They continue to pound the baseball. Alvarez, who's been much better since coming back from injury. He was red hot to start. He's cooled off a little bit, but has been pretty much good the entire time. And he has a big night. You get Hageman from Penn State. Hageman from Penn State, who is beloved over there. I can't even mispronounce his name for a second. Fliegelman's all over me. From Penn State, he comes through with a nice performance to save the bullpen, and that's a good win for the New York Mets on top of all the history.